Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Hello and welcome to today's show of House of Rugby URC, brought to you by Bank of Ireland, proud sponsors of the four Irish provinces. I'm Megan Williams and we have a fantastic show for you today, including highlights from all the URC matches with some massive hits, some fantastic tries and so much more.
But before we get into the show, guys, I'd like to introduce our new co-host, Mr. Greg O'Shea.
Happy to be here, Jason.
We've also got a current Ireland international in the studio, Mr. Will Connors.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I will.
Guys, before we get any further, Greg, do you want to address the elephant in the room?
I know. I'm not looking my greatest now with this mask. So I just got surgery today on my nose. So I'm retired from rugby recently and I'm getting all my ailments and injuries fixed up. So hence, this is on my face. I'm not looking my greatest, but look, you just have to deal with me looking like this.
Oh, I've been there, Greg. Like, I have the t-shirt and I think they have actually an old picture of me coming up here on it.
Yeah, you've been there. You've been down that route.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I think you can't really go to rugby without breaking your nose. Yeah. Will has a dodgy nose there beside me.
As a result of not breaking any nose.
What about yourself? Injury-wise, like, I mean, I like to walk. Moon didn't start here, but you've got the Achilles problem, the knee problem. Yeah. Coming along? How are you getting?
Yeah, coming along grand now. I'm back running there this week, so not the final hurdle of it. Yeah, I did my knee just that final week of the Six Nations, and then during that I actually ended up realising I had a dodgy Achilles as well, so kind of got that fixed up. So hopefully I'm put together fairly well now and ready to rock now in a couple of weeks.
So you're looking to get back?
Yeah, but I'd say about 2 months, please God. That's the plan. Well, 6 weeks, 2 months, yeah.
I promise we're going to get into the URC action soon, but as we did last week with Darren Cave, we want to ask you a few questions. And, you know, we've got some guys in social media chatting to us. Same as last time, 10 questions. Perfect. Find out a bit about our guests, see what the crack is. But before we go anywhere, speaking of social media, who is this handsome devil?
Oh, wow. that's our house dog. Yeah, Ishbin. She's a basset hound. And she's looking a bit skinnier there now. She's put on a few pounds like myself there since that photo. So
I'm going to kick us off here, Will. Some of your fans from Instagram, Erica in particular, asked where your nickname came from, if you can explain what it is.
Yeah, so the nickname Purge, it came from school, I think. Lads used to call me because I used to go around with little tin and microwave loads for dinner and stuff. And then I remember, it kind of came to life when after a game against, one of my first games, James Lowe was like, what's Pirage? What's his real name? The Reserve 7, what's his name? Pirage. And then Flavin's got a bit of heating and gave me a little selection pack of Pirage oats. Lasted me a week. There's a nice blueberry flavour there. And that was the most I ever got from the lovely nickname.
Yeah. It's fairly stuck though. Most of the lads would know you as Porridge. Even when you came to the Sevens team, it's Porridge.
It really has stuck. Like, the coaches now don't call me Porridge at all, but like the whole, every kind of team I've been with, it's been Porridge all the way through. So
Definitely the worst one.
It's a funny one. It's not really an exciting story to it, but I'll have to make something up about it.
The next question we have from you is from Tom Ryan, and he wants to know, what would you consider the best game you've ever played is?
Best game I've ever played? Like, performance-wise?
I suppose, yeah. What one stands out in your memory? It could probably be your first cap with it.
I think... Yeah, my first cap, it was quite enjoyable against Italy.
Scored on debut.
Yeah, scored on debut. It was kind of like everything went well for me. Another game that stands out, I remember we played down at Thomond Park. I remember one of my best mates, Rowan Osborne, who now is with Munster, got a start there. And I just remember that game, he was all nervous and he ended up having a cracking game. I was happy with how it went. One down at Thomond, all my mates from school were down there. I remember that was just another special game,
beating Munster and Thomond Park.
It's not done that often, and to share the field with one of your best mates and for him to have such a cracking game as well, that was a standout for me as well.
Conal Whelan,
I quote, wants to know, how the hell is your tackle technique so good, and who has been your hardest opponent to tackle?
I think. Unfortunately, I've been struck with a few injuries. So during that time, you're able to kind of brush up on those bits. Through school, it was always a big thing. Noel Mack was big on pushing our tackle tech. Then Hugh Hogan in Leinster. I think, yeah, unfortunately, like I said, it's the injury where you get a lot of time to go through those reps. And to be honest, the toughest person to tackle, I'd say Coetzee. Geez, that wasn't a nice one.
Big boy.
Still feeling on the shoulders, but yeah.
Will, you're known for being a specialist chop tackler. Mm. Is this something that you've just been working on over the last few years?
I don't know.
From a young age, it was a nickname, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, like even in school, like, because lads, whenever we talk about, like, school rugby and stuff, like, they wouldn't have, they, like, I was good at tackling or whatever back then, but, like, my ball handling ability and stuff is things they would have remembered me for. And then I think, I suppose when I moved into the more professional setup, I had, when you're playing with lads like Max Deegan and James Ryan, these lads, I suppose you have to find your niche somewhere else. So that's where that kind of came to life. But yeah, it's a nice trait to have. But yeah, I suppose it's trying to push your game, push the boundaries a bit and be a bit more expansive and like carrying and everything.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, we have a music question for you from the Space Clinics. That's the interesting account name on Instagram. I think they follow you. They know you have a big interest in records and they were asking what your favorite vinyl song is at the moment.
I vary between I go between Christy Moore is probably my big one at the moment. Kind of On the Road, there's some good albums there. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, kind of greatest hits. I like to show that on. To be honest, I vary between a lot of stuff and then I have then I have a bit of disco and stuff as well. So, you know, it's a big collection to get through.
Do you listen to the Dermot Kennedy one I gave you?
Yeah. In fairness, Greg actually gave me some great, what's the other lad? Sam Fender.
Yeah,
you gave me one there as well. Yeah, you.
Oh, I did.
Lovely.
Yeah, so that was sound.
Taking care of my boy Parry.
looking after me.
Yeah. This next question's from me. So obviously Leinster have a conveyor belt of unbelievable back rowers. We've Josh Van der Fleer, we've Scott Penny, we've Levy back, and obviously yourself coming back soon. What's that like in training, having all those unbelievable back rowers, and does that impact on training? Are you all going up against each other, or is there a friendly camaraderie there?
Friendly, I suppose, off the pitch. But to be honest, we haven't really all been on the pitch at the same time. Unfortunately, between us all, we've had our fair share of injuries. But I think, yeah, when it's on the pitch and training and stuff, there is a bit of bite to it. All of us fighting to get that jersey. Mm-hmm. So, like, at the end of the day, I suppose you want the best lad out there. But off the pitch, we're all good mates. Like, we all get on well. All interesting characters, so.
Yeah, but that's probably why Leinster back row is so good, because you just have such good training sessions, I'd say. And just the best person plays in the weekend then.
Exactly, and we all have our own kind of strengths. So, like, I'd like to think that, like, depending on the game, they'd roll out whoever's strongest for that and what they'd play them to their strengths. But, yeah, I think from personality points of view, like, I think to be a seven, you have to be a bit odd and a bit mad. So the four of us are quite quirky, so we all get on well.
That's fair enough. Back to social media for the next one. Len Carmody over on Facebook. Interesting question here, I think. Do you think that there needs to be a reintroduction of an Ireland A team to give younger squad players a chance, especially because the league isn't going ahead this year during the Six Nations with the URC being changed around? And what do you think? Is it something we should look at?
Yeah, like, I definitely think there'd be a place for it. Exactly like you said, because the games aren't going ahead, and there's, even when you look at kind of A rugby and stuff, there's not too many games being played. So what is it? There's going to be 6 weeks off during that period. So I definitely think there's a place for an Irish A game or something to go ahead. What was the last one they had? Was it off in Romania or something?
I think so, it's been a good few years. If you look at some
of the players that came through that, like, I remember, like, Brian Byrne, Dan Levy, all these lads, and it's definitely just a really good exposure, and even to meet coaches and stuff.
Yeah. Even if that doesn't go ahead, do you think maybe you should go back and play some AL games during that period?
Yeah, I think, and there already has been lads kind of going through the AL now as well. So I definitely think it's trying to push the club game as hard as they can, because there's a lot of players, like, you look at people like Barry Daly and stuff that have come from the likes of UCD, and the only way these clubs get better is kind of bringing down lads from the professional setups, and that's, I suppose, the best way to grow the game.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been really sporty and into, you know, rugby, GAA from a really young age, growing up in Kildare.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background in the GAA? Where did you play?
Yeah, so I played with a small club, my local club, Kappa. We weren't that strong a club, but a really good community. I think, like, everyone kind of knew each other there, and everyone from my primary school played football. That's where everyone went. Rugby was nearly secondary to that. So like I'd say the last game of football I played was probably around 4 or 5 years ago for the seconds team down there. Just a bit of fitness. But like I remember playing against lads that they would have been, I'd say they're in their 40s, 45, but they would have been like inter-county players at the time. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll run around these lads. And they absolutely made a mess of me. Like, sure, these lads, they're so on point with the game. Mm-hmm. They know how well it flows. They know that the ball is going to end up over there. You're there running around like a headless chicken, but it's a lovely game. And to be honest, I'll definitely go back playing for my local club whenever I get the chance.
Because you live not too far from Carted House. And yeah. I was reading about when you were a young boy, you used to go up there to see the Irish lads play. Yeah. And were you a water boy or...?
No, we went up there one time and Rala was nice enough to let us go out and pick up the cones after. So I don't know, was that for us it was great, but I suppose he got off a bit of work.
Typical Rala. Yeah. The next question is from Facebook. A guy called Patrick Cahill wants to know about your illustrious sevens career, and he was lucky enough to play with you for a while. And a lot of guys have come through the sevens, like yourself. We have Hugo Keenan, Shane Daly. But what I want to know from you, being a forward, what did you take from playing sevens into the 15s that's really helped you to get into the Irish 15s team now?
Yeah, I definitely think confidence on the ball, because you do get like, you're every time you're on the ball, you're in a big acre of space, and I suppose like things like passing and stuff, you just get more confidence, a lot more time on the ball, and even things around the breakdown, like in 7 minutes of a game, like in a half, the amount of actions you can get trying to go for a poach and stuff, you just get so many more exposures than you would, I think, at kind of like 15s where the game might be stop-start and stuff. In sevens, it's flat out. You're at that, like, you're absolutely exhausted the entire time and you're having to work at that level the whole time. So they were the little bits you kind of take from it. But to be honest, you know yourself, I spent my time literally looking at lads' arses, them running past me, I was there stretching out, jumping down. Like it was tough when you're slow and lanky, but...
Yeah, no, you were a good man. I know you scored a good few tries, but you'd always catch someone in a tackle and that was it. Do you ever think you'd go back and play sevens?
I don't know if I'd have the capability to. I think with the old Achilles and stuff, I probably wouldn't be able to last the pace. But I remember the first... Do you remember that tournament over in Scotland?
Yeah, Melrose.
I remember my first action of a game. I remember I caught a kickoff and you were there on my shoulder. We had a little link up. That was my first exposure to seven. So
you popped it off to me.
Yeah, you were there from day one.
we'll look back on that big breakthrough season you had before you got that injury in the Six Nations. I think for a lot of people, you were showing Lions form. And I think, a lot of people said that. People think that's the case. Did you ever get a call off Gatlin? Were you lucky enough to be one of the 50-something people that took the photo during the tournament just in case you got the call up?
No, I didn't get a call or anything and wasn't in that extended squad. Got a photo, but that was the whole squad got it. Like everyone got the photo. So I got to show the jersey for a second, which is nice. But I think it was at the time when I was playing, it was more in reflection. Kind of looking back my season, I definitely thought if I'd kind of strung a few more games together, I would have liked to have thought I would have been in around a chance. But I think that's unfortunately the way with injuries and stuff. Yeah. Like
it's obviously an ambition of yours. I mean, like at your age, you've got at least 2 tours left in you.
Hopefully, please God, now if the old body can hold up.
Another question is about your pre-match nerves. Like, do you have any? Is there any way that you deal with them? Like, you're going to be nervous when you come back?
Yeah, like I think if you weren't nervous for the games, you'd be worried, because I think nerves is kind of a sign that it means something to you. But like to deal with them, I tried those things like Rescue Remedy, but I couldn't buy into it. It didn't do it for me. Like even my pre-match meal, I wouldn't really eat during the day. I'd eat Weetabix. Do you know the little mini Weetabix with chocolate in them? That's a little treat. That's all I'd fuel myself on. Like, and to be honest, fine. I would get very nervous. But I think once you get onto the pitch, it just kind of fades away from me. I just kind of go into that kind of state. Everything kind of rolls into itself. So it's more the day of, like even a late kickoff. I remember we were playing France during the first Six Nations this year, and like the game was at like 9 o'clock and I was sitting around all day. I was like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever.
Torture.
It's a privilege to be there and you love being there, but at the time you're like, oh my god, when's this going to start?
I just remember when I played, we were in France and it was actually my first cap And they went kicking off till 10 o'clock.
It's crazy.
And I was the same. And we were only laughing about me drinking Red Bull, but I was like high as a kite on my fourth Red Bull. Like by 10 o'clock, I was raring to go.
I'd be in bed by 10. Like.
Yeah. We didn't get home back to the hotel by about 1, 2 o'clock.
It's crazy. It's different game.
Well, that's a different thing with sevens then. Obviously, you played sevens for a bit. There's three games a day. You played sevens a bit as well. Is that it's the emotional roller coaster. Like you come up for a game, then you have to relax for 2 hours. And you come up for a game, you have to relax. So it's just the mental side of sport that people don't realise. Like,
100%.
I would have naps in between games. My nickname used to be Sloth Meg because I used to just always have naps between each of the games.
Sloth Meg.
Anything to get the energy back up for those, isn't it?
Literally. But the caffeine hit off those, like, you know, you've done those three games, and for me, I'd only get on for 2 minutes. 3 minute madness, I used to call myself, because I'd only come on for the very end when it was over. But like, I'd be there slapping loads of caffeine and stuff, and then I'd be there at night time literally looking at the roof, like, just you just couldn't sleep, and then you have to play another three games the next day.
People would be really surprised at like what you eat before matches. Like we would have chocolate buns, like croissants, you know, sweets, jellies. Like no meals, because like you said, you're so nervous before the games to eat.
100%.
Just any bit of energy you can get into it just to get you going and get you over the line. Brilliant. Great stuff.
Will, thanks so much for answering all those questions and being good crack. But now let's get to the URC. There was another exciting weekend of action we have to get through.
First, let's start with a look at who had a great weekend.
I'm going to start us off with Ulster, who beat Benetton 28-8, a Kings fan. A really great match from them, you know, 3-3, Greg. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Ulster played very well. First of all, we need to acknowledge Rob Herring with his 200th game. It's unbelievable that availability, and he's still playing at the top, and he scored a try as well.
Got a try, got one disallowed and scored another. So
yeah, so he's still playing at the top of his game after 200 games. So congratulations to you, Rob. But also another outstanding player was Nathan Doak. He was kicking, he was scoring tries, he was doing everything. And I think we have his first try here.
Yeah, his first try here,
He linked up with David McCann and finished it off nicely. So what do you make of him, Will? Do you think he's a good prospect?
Yeah, I'd say lads up north are going to be excited about him. He's young. He seems like he's the full package. Like even in that try there, like you want your nine running those lines, and that's nearly an instinctive thing. You see him coming up here. It's just good lines of running. Looks solid.
Still only 19 as well.
Coach McFarland, you know, describing him as a really cool, confident, collective player, and he's really showing it here in these clips.
He must be really confident that he's got nearly all his kicks, I think, and he was hitting them from the touchline. So he definitely is a one for the future, I think.
Yeah, without doubt. Craig Gilroy then as well, closing in on the league try scoring record, isn't he? 10 tries away now at this stage. Good player. I mean, it's say up. We do have to try. Come up here. Here we go.
Yeah, he came onto that very nicely, didn't he?
Yeah, like especially with that, like maybe it wasn't the right decision for Billy to kick it, but you see Gilroy, he makes it the right decision by, you know, making, like getting in there again on the ball, and it's a great try. Yeah. But like that could have gone either way. That could have been the other end of the pitch had it not gone right. But
and that's like just, quite a lucky kind of kick, didn't it? Yeah. Bit of a random one.
Yeah.
Nick Timoney's looking very good this year as well, isn't he? I mean, do you play with him when he was at Leinster, did you?
Yeah, he would have been the year above me, kind of through the underage setup. He's a big, strong man, really quick. Played through the seven system as well, I think. He had that yard of pace I never had. So, he's looking very good this year as well.
Excellent. No, the Ulster are looking well this year, to be fair.
Some of the other wins as well. Look at Leinster. Mm. You know, it was a much better start from them this week. You know, a bit of a shaky week. We didn't get to talk about it last week because they were playing when we were recording. But they were kind of saying they had a bit of a lack of, you know, someone taking control of the game. It was great to see Sexton back. What are your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I thought it was a great turnaround. I think lads trained well all week. And like you said, I think you're always guaranteed that with Sex, so he's going to come on and make those big plays. He's just, that's the kind of player he is. He can control the ship. And like Harry as well, like Harry had a good game, just, and he was unlucky to come off with that. Like it was a big hit. And that's the thing, Zebra were hitting hard. Like there was a few instances where they were getting big hits in. So like it wasn't an easy game at all, but I think lads to come out that kind of scoreline was very good.
I know, poor Zebras losing out again, 43-7. Like they seem to be, so as the underdogs of the tournament, aren't they? Do you think they're going to be a bit more, you know, I suppose a bit better coming on for the next match? Or do you think they're tired?
They got that good. They got a good win at the very start of the championship against the Lions, and I think they definitely, like, even saw in the game, they have that fight. Even their try, like it was a great finish. I think they're you'd be a fool as a team to write them off, because I think they have a lot of fight in them. They have the players there to turn a game around. So
yeah, coming up against Leinster as well. Leinster probably the best in Europe, but I think Italian rugby's coming on as a whole. Like Benetton are doing all right, Zebra are doing all right.
Yep.
As you mentioned there, Bruno's try at the end there for Zebra was incredible. So just tough coming up against Leinster,
definitely,
who have a conveyor belt of unbelievable players, and a few of them actually returned at the weekend. We had Adam Byrne, who's back after two seasons out nearly. We had Devin Toner, Larmer. And what do you make of all the boys coming back?
Yeah, like I suppose the highlight there is Ads. Like I think as injuries go, he's had a horrific run of it, and you could even see what it meant to him to get in for that first try, and what it meant to everyone. Like even I was in the stands there, and everyone was just over the moon. Like when you see someone in the gym that long rehab, and it's just tough, especially when he's such a good lad and you just want the best for him. So I think there was a real nice image of him and his mum having a moment after, and that's kind of what it's all about.
Yeah,
it's those moments that you get to share, and you know, being part of a squad with him like that is special in its own way.
Yeah, I saw that when he scored his first try, the camera pans and everyone's running in, and you see proper smiles on faces, like Jimmy O'Brien is there, and other forwards are running over to give him a hug. So you must have really good...
One of the tries here, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just here now. Watch everyone running in, smiles on faces.
That's brilliant.
Delighted. So just shows you such a nice team bond there as well in Leinster.
He's obviously a popular figure, is he?
Yeah, he is. And he wouldn't be the loudest figure. He kind of goes about his own work and gets it done. But like... everyone's interaction with him is always, you always have great crack at him. He's a really good lad, and I think, like you said, it's genuine when you see lads running in like that. And even all of us up in the stands, we were like absolutely over the moon from him. So no, he's a great lad, and I was only delighted for him.
What about Sexton then as well, like coming off the bench, player of the match? But go back to that again. I mean, he's played more minutes in the first three games than he played in the entire domestic season last year, I'd say. Is he he's not used to it at all, but he's playing well.
He's some player. Like I think he's in a good run of form at the moment, and you love to see it. And I think even as a captain in the club, like he really gets the best out of us. He's a great leader, and even you can see in the game like how he comes on. And if you even look back at the preseason game against Harlequins, like how much it means to him to be playing in these games. Like he's said it before, like to be in a change room with a bunch of lads like that playing for either Ireland or Leinster, it's a privilege. You know, you don't know, it could be your last time putting on the jersey, and you can really see him live his own words and doing that. Every game he plays is passion. And like people always, I suppose critics say, like you may see the bad side of it sometimes, but that's for us, like that's just his emotion. Like he really plays with his heart on his sleeve, and that's the best thing about him, I think.
He's shown no sign of slowing down though, really, is he? Like, I mean, he's looking like he could be the Tom Brady of rugby. I mean, do you see him? What is he, 37 now, is he?
36.
Pushing on 37. I mean, he can still play at the highest level, I would say, for another couple of seasons at least.
100%.
Yeah, and a question I had myself was about training with Johnny Sexton. What's he like at training? Is he really intense, or does he help the young fellas out, or what's he like in the training pitch?
No, I think it's like his intensity is like a turn. Like, you know, he's always demanding really high standards. So, like, it'd be... He'll question you. He'll be like, why'd you make that decision? Say if you rush out of line and you may make a mistake or something, he'll address it on the pitch, and he'll be like, what? Like, because that's where you're thinking in those moments. That's where you're like, instead of going back after where you've had a bit of time in the video review to be like, oh yeah, make up some stupid excuse. But he'll, in fairness, he'll address it on the pitch, and he'll be like, why are you doing that? And he'll just be like, I don't know. And he'd just be like,
exactly. You've had a few run-ins.
Exactly. Well, I suppose as a seven, you end up being in that 10 channel a bit. So yeah, I've had good and bad run-ins with him, but I think it's just honest feedback the whole time.
We had Devin Turner is back as well. Was he a good leader in the pack that you've been missing? Was his first game back?
Toner first came back, so Toner and Lamar coming back as well.
Yeah.
A lot of players coming back over the weekend.
Yeah, and like,
what's he like?
Yeah, big
he seems like a big friendly giant.
He's a great lad, you know. He's again quite quiet around the change rooms and stuff, but like you have really good chats with him. He's a really nice lad. He's actually from my home club, Norkel, there, so I kind of had that kind of, I suppose, that familiarity with him coming into the club. So like Dev, he's a big friendly giant, and like it's not like that's what people kind of say about him outside the club, but even in there, like he's just always a good lad, always has a smile on his face, and Like he's been in excellent form for such a long period of time.
Look, he's a veteran of the game. Anyway, look, moving on to the Ospreys game. This game was obviously the Sharks beat the Ospreys, but the big talking about this game was the two drop goals that came as a result of the new goal line dropout law, rule, if you want to call it.
Ask him as long as he can. Up to more or less halfway. Long drop goal by Chamberlain. He knew the moment he struck it, he just simply turned away from the post and said, that will do, we are all square.
Chamberlain had a great kicking game.
This is like a full-on cheat code. It's just unbelievable.
As you were saying back to start, like, that's something a lot of teams are going to start utilising. You've got a good kicker in your
what I found mad about this is that Anscombe kicked it to him again the second time. Why are you kicking him the ball?
I love when he catches it here and then he sets himself up for it, but then he doesn't even watch to see it go over. He just turns his back and he's like, yes, I have it.
So booting him.
This is it. They kick it to him again. Like, don't kick him the ball. He's obviously just done so much training and practiced that a million times.
That's a tough thing to do.
Ospreys on the back foot a lot during that game with the kicking. Yeah. They were putting that young winger, the 14, under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And he did make a couple of mistakes.
Yeah.
Alan Wynne-Jones was back after line shooty. He made a big impact and he's one of my favourite players. Yeah. So it's great to see him back in the field.
Good to see this afternoon getting the win as well. Yeah. It's good to see him getting the win. But onto our poor Connacht after last week. They were so good last week, but just couldn't do it against the Dragons.
Yeah.
Tough game for them. The 35-22 loss in the end. We got the first try coming up here.
The Dragons were good. This guy Jordan Williams was on fire. They've been talking about him a lot in Wales, but I think he's really shown what he's about there. What did you make of Connacht's performance, Will?
Yeah, I think the talking point would be how strong Dragons were, really, I think, because like you said, like, we'd always see those lads like Jonah Holmes and even their back row, like you have Wainwright and stuff, like they're tough players. They're going to make things happen, and I think they, after last week, definitely against us, they probably felt like they should have won that game. So, going to the sports ground, it's not an easy place to go. We've been there plenty of times and been, walked away and with a terrible result. But, you see here, they, in fairness, kept in it. They kept after it. And I'd say Connacht would be disappointed with themselves. But, no, all credit to Dragons.
There will be. It was a bit of a back and forth game. They started well. They were in the game. They were out of the game. They lost Marmion just before kickoff. And you're losing an Ireland international there, but you're also losing the fact that you can bring Blade off the bench, as he's a nice impact some in the last 20 minutes to bring the pace back up. They didn't have that because they had to start with him.
Big ball carriers on it. Or will they put some width and speed and tempo over the top? Hansen now dances around three players and he's in again. And Connacht are right back in the match now.
But Mac Hansen was good again. You have another great try. So except three guys in the corner. Absolute. Another worldie.
Yeah, he's on fire and he's actually Irish eligible, I believe, isn't he? Great to have him playing week in, week out and scoring ridiculous tries like this. He scored a lovely one last week down the wing and then is showing his fancy feet from the Sevens series. Here, he beats three people he didn't even need to.
That's serious. But
Jack Carty would have been delighted with him there now, making it a little bit easier to kick.
But
Connacht definitely have something brewing over there in the sports ground. They played very well last week. Obviously, they were off the money this week. But I'd say keep an eye on them. They're going very well, I think.
Yeah. They have a good side. What do you think of Connacht? Do you see them going somewhere this year?
You can never take we've gone there plenty of times, and even last year, when we were playing and we lost, it's an unbelievably tough game. They're full of passion, really good players. Even Conor Oliver, these lads are they're tough players to play against, and I think they probably offer a lot this year again.
They have a lot of strength and depth still coming into the squad. Bande Yake hasn't come back yet. And he's probably going to slot in really nicely too.
But the centre partnership of Tom Farrell and Tom Daly, they're both playing very well.
Just need to be more consistent at the end of the day. That's what it is. That's what's killing Colin at the moment. They're brilliant one week and then they're kind of a little bit off the next. And if they can just get a bit of consistency going, they have a good squad. They have a good coach. They've got everything there in place to be a good team.
I think the four clubs at the moment, it's probably the most competitive it's been years. I think there'll be a good enterprise going. There won't be any easy games.
Without a doubt. We'll move on so to the Glasgow game. Narrow 13-9 victory against the Lions, their South African team. But the big thing about that game was the Jimmy Batty try that was not a try.
an angle off Dobby's pass. Glasgow looking to start this match like they did last week against the Sharks. Dobby. Batty. Can Batty reach it? Batty is over. The arm goes up.
Poor ref slipped. You have a look, you'll see that the ball has never grounded. The ball is nowhere near the try line.
I think the ref maybe just panicked a little bit and just rewarded it because he slipped.
Yeah.
He's also with some confidence.
Yeah, that's the thing.
To make it.
Why doesn't he go to see him all?
I think
for me the most disappointing bit about it is it's because it's so early on in the game, they feel like there's no point bringing the TMO into the game that early because they feel like it'll play out, it'll shape out in a different way. But like that's the thing, there was very little scores after this.
It was 13-9 was the game, yeah.
Ended up being the defining score. So like I definitely think if the availability of the TMO is there, it needs to be taken hand, and even if it's early on. Because like we were talking about earlier with that Ireland-Italy game, like early try, disallowed, I remember Ian Henderson going over and it just wasn't given, it was a try and Italy just went off and played, and I think it is, they're just not harnessing, I suppose, the TMO early on.
If it's there, you might as well use it, like that's the whole reason behind it, and you can't just be presuming that scores are going to happen in the game. So you saw in that Edinburgh game on the weekend, it was 20-20 at half time and there wasn't a score for the whole second half,
like, so
hopefully they'll learn from that and they'll use the TMO from now on.
Excellent.
All right, now let's discuss our nominations for Try of the Weekend.
So first up from the Leinster game, we've got Adam Burns' first try.
Burn! Welcome back, Mr. Burn!
Adam Burns, we've seen us already.
First try back, yeah. Amazing. 2 seasons out, I think he was out for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it was something like that. So.
Nice, good finish.
The lads are delighted for him.
Yeah, it's the kind of context around that, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. It's a lovely lean change here. Look, lovely little switch back in. Lovely. That's a beautiful pass.
Ed Byrne with a lovely pass there in the middle as well.
That's lovely. Yeah, the little switch back in from Byrne is lovely.
The second try is Nathan Doak's try in the Ulster game.
Rob Herring. There's another offside advantage here to Ulster. Bacan to Nathan Doak. Has he the pace to get to the line? The teenage scrum half busts through the Benetton defence and scores Ulster's second try.
That support line.
Really simple.
Great finish. Like, he wasn't anywhere near the line when he got the ball back off McCann. Yeah. Serious finish.
Yeah. That just shows you, like, you've got to be running those support lines aside. Yeah. Every good nine should be doing that.
But yeah, lovely line from McCann, I suppose. Mm.
Lovely interplay here again, very similar to the Leinster try actually with the interplay. But
it's an excellent try,
great try.
A little turn of pace to get away from the defence initially.
Yeah, it's free. I'd be disappointed defensively, I suppose, that shooter. But fairness, they have to take that space.
Lovely support as well.
Oh, this is my favourite try. This is Darcy Graham try in the Edinburgh game.
No matter, Van der Vaart on a show and go. He's got a man on his shoulder, and there's only one man that Edinburgh fans wanted to see running onto that loose ball. It's the electric Darcy Graham.
22 minutes into the game as well.
Yeah, look for this. Look for the dummy. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, there.
Wait for it. Oh, do you want a receipt with that? Absolutely. Beautiful. Sold down the river.
Darcy Graham just can't stop scoring, can he?
Yeah, he's a fantastic player. Yeah. He's a superstar.
He came him off his right wing there to get that ball.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
So it's just the work rate.
I can't get over that dummy though. It's so good. Look at this. Oh. That's an excellent try. I don't know about you guys, but that's my try of the weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, it's that was more so like it was a skill of the dummy, like selling the dummy, where I felt the other two tries were kind of team plays.
Yeah.
I prefer them for the team kind of plays, but you're going for the old showboat.
I'm going for the showboat. The yourself.
I'm going to say Adams. I think it was just great. Yeah. His first try back, and it's great to see.
Sorry, Lynn, you're on. You're going with Adams as well.
I'm going to go with Leinster, for the interplay. Adam Byrne, the Byrne brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eddie with a little bit of interplay there.
Okay, there you go. There's our try of the week. Not a bad week for Adam Byrne. Try of the week, 2 tries. Right, so guys, on to my favourite award, the jukebox of the week. Up first, we've got this hit on Ospreys Dan Evans by Jeremy Ward from Sale Sharks. And look at
this. Oh, it's such a shame he dropped that ball.
Oh, here we go. Look at this. It's a bit needless and a bit late.
That's late.
Fractional.
The extra push on the ground then.
Yeah, and we got the all handbags.
I think the attack, though, before that, like, it would have been an incredible try in fairness.
It would have been, yeah.
Room PNR doing his thing.
Give him in the end one of them, will you? Or the, which side? Yeah. Giving it or receiving it?
It's a little hit at the end.
Yeah, a little pass. Lovely.
The next is Antonio Rizzi's hit on Johnny Sexton. The Zebra out half actually ended up getting a yellow card after this one.
For legs up in the air, wasn't
Yeah, Sexton doesn't look happy.
Yeah, dirty play. Head, wasn't it? You
and Jack. Complaining again. I just saw where James Ryan is laughing in the background.
Yeah. The hit on Jamie Osborne in this game, which was clean enough, though. That,
yeah, that was really late.
That's a big hit.
Yeah,
that one now to me is. That's just yeah. Sometimes
you want. That's just standard for you, isn't it?
Well, no, that's illegal. That's.
But that's what Johnny Sexton does well. He's so square in his hips that you wouldn't think he was going to pass it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's unhappy
with. He doesn't need to lift him up there above the heart. He doesn't need to.
And last but not least is Duplessis hit here in Reese Priestland.
Oh,
and he's the one carrying the ball. Unbelievable. This season he's been playing for years and he's still knocking fellas over like that.
I'm going to say, is he 38 or 39?
37. 37 going on 38. Like, I mean, he's won a World Cup back in, what was 2007 with the box. Like, and he's playing that long. I mean, he's still going out absolutely mashing fellas. Like, it's great to see.
He gets my vote for jukebox of the week anyway.
He gets my vote too, anyway. I think so.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Same.
So there's our two boxes of the week, guys.
Now we're going to have a look at some other standout moments. Here's one from Andrew Timbo on the commentary. It's quite a funny one.
I love this one. It's really good.
It looks like a ginger version of a South African nine that we've been used to for years.
Good to Tia.
Was that?
Youth van der Vest.
Here's
him. It's been a few decent ones.
Okay.
The ginger pinot I'm talking about.
You have an option.
I love the way he came back and confirmed what he was talking about there. Just for people that didn't know, it was ginger peanut.
I wonder would I catch on to ginger peanut. That's it. It's another, better one than porridge anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Another standout moment for me was from the Ulster game as well, when Nathan Doak chipped through.
Yeah, that's a tough skill. People don't realise that, what he had to do there. Like, to kick the ball on the run at that pace. Yeah. It's a tough skill to do. Like, and once again, I think people are sick of talking about Doak at this stage, but he's a hell of a player. Well, really good player.
He's a star player at the moment, like 2 weeks in a row, and he seems to be doing everything. I'm very impressed with him. Obviously, it's early in the season now, but a big prospect for me.
19 years of age. Moment I thought was really good over the weekend. I don't know if you spotted this, guys, in the Cardiff and Bulls game. So obviously the Bulls beat Cardiff, great win for them. That's two wins to the African sides over the weekend. But the Sharks players were actually in the stands because they're due to play Cardiff soon. So they actually post-match came on, congratulated them, and it was just kind of a nice little home because it's been tough for those South African sides, the opening two rounds. So it's nice to have that bit of camaraderie there, I suppose, between them. And, you know?
It's a big thing for the South Africans, showing the schoolboys rugby, like their manners and, you know, greeting them after the matches is really important to them. Just shows great class, doesn't it?
It's good to see. It's good to see. But look, I think you're sick of us all this age, will you?
Yeah, look, it's been great being with you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you've been great fun. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, and thanks for coming in, Will.
We're definitely
going to
be back.
Now let's have a look at social media and see what you guys thought of the weekend's action.
A funny tweet here from Coma Girl about Johnny Sexton. Johnny Sexton comes on after 20 minutes and scoops the player of the match. I'm not sure whether the name of the girl is funnier than the actual tweet.
But it's true though, talented, brilliant, incredible. I mean, we've been saying this for long enough, like we're sick of saying it. He's so far ahead of every other 10 in the country at the moment that it's a problem.
Yeah.
But it is great to see him, as we said earlier on, excelling at this stage. But in the long term, we do need to look at bringing someone up. I mean, we need to close that gap.
Well, that's it. He's been the number one choice 10 in the country for the bones of a decade now. And there's so many fellas at that second level. Like, you have your Joey Carberry, you have Jack Carty, you have the Byrne brothers.
Yeah.
So many fellas there. Who's
good players.
Really, great players. Mm, but are they Johnny Sexton's level? No, they're not yet.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see that battle. Who's going to take Johnny's jersey in the years to come?
CJ Stander had a bit of fun with us over on Instagram. I spotted this myself and I was like, what's going on here? So he put up a story. First of all, he's at his old team, the Bulls, saying, I'm back. And then the next one, then they won't let him in. But thankfully, he put up a follow-up clip that we don't have here, unfortunately. You'll see it on his Instagram, just saying he was joking. So he's not going anywhere. he's going to stay retired. And Ulster fans don't have to worry, guys. Standards. He's staying in retirement, okay?
Because he wouldn't be that active on social media. So that really caused a stir now with Ulster fans.
Oh, they weren't happy.
Another funny thing I saw on social media were the Dragons fans getting very excited about beating Connacht. So here we have Jamie Phillips saying Dragons' first win of the season in a place where we haven't won in 17 years. A bonus point win. Fair play to the Dragons. You know what? I think it was 2004 was their first win.
Yeah.
So now it's I'm actually happy for them. Obviously, sad to see Connacht losing, but I'm happy for the Dragons playing well.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
I've seen this one as well. I'm not sure you boys are going to like it, but Dennis Leamy joining the Leinster coaching staff.
Yeah.
Bit of a sin.
Not ideal for the Munster diehards. Jason, you're probably struggling with that one, are you?
No, I don't mind it. Like, if you want to read out the tweet there first.
Yeah, the tax expert says, here, I cannot believe Dennis Leamy is with the Blue Bloods. It should be with the Reds. Munster rugby. What do you think about that?
Absolutely, Craig. I mean, like, for me, I think, you know, he's making the most of the opportunities afforded him. Do you know, he was a good servant at Munster, and fair play to him, and I hope he does well.
Yeah, that's true. He isn't a great coach. I've seen him, he came to Rockwell College, and he's done it all the way up, so he's an unbelievable coach. It's obviously hard to see him going up to the Blue of Leinster, but do you know what? Great coach, and it's going to help Irish rugby in overall. 100%. So, yeah, fair play to him.
And talking about Munster, news just in, because we are recording this on a Sunday, they have beaten the Scarlets 43-13 with a bonus point win.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, good win, but bad news from that game as well. RG Snyman. He's back out again with another serious injury.
Catch a break.
He lasted just 9 minutes after coming on the second half replacement. Like, obviously, we don't know the extent of it. Munster head coach Johan van Graan says it's a significant injury and they're going to wait on scans. But
no.
That is just 13 months out. He featured heavily on the show the last 2 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, he could be gone again.
Yeah, and that's just, he's an incredible player. Well, hopefully, it's not too bad this time. Send him well wishes.
So before we go, we are going to take a look at some other news from the rugby world outside the URC.
We're starting off there with the Champions Cup draw. Some big matches there. Round one is kicking off with Leinster versus Bath, Connacht versus Stade Francais, Clermont versus Ulster, Wasp versus Munster. Then in round two, we've got Ulster versus Northampton, Montpellier versus Leinster, Munster versus Cass, and Leicester versus Connacht.
Some serious matchups there. When you get the French clubs involved, the rugby becomes really interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing those European Cup games.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, but another bit of interesting rugby news is from the Stormers-Munster game last week when allegedly Niall Scanlon got bit. Yep. So Andrew Smith ended up getting an 8-match ban.
Yep.
And it was because he wasn't able to prove his innocence on a balance of probabilities rather than just being innocent until proven guilty. So seems a bit like harsh there, but look, he has an 8-match ban now and probably deservedly so.
They said they're going to appeal anyway, the Stormers, and they're probably going to appeal.
Did they?
Let's be honest, yeah. We saw it. We talked about it last week in the show, and there was a bite mark and it was a big deal. But look, if you can't prove it wrong. But that's, you know what I mean?
Some other news from the 2023 World Cup qualifiers. Uruguay beat USA, which is really surprising, to qualify. Chile beat Canada, and Canada are out of the World Cup.
Wow.
Which is huge. So now USA will face Chile for that last and final spot.
That's a big deal there. Like,
it'd be weird not having USA in a World Cup, wouldn't it?
That's a strange one.
But good to see the South American teams doing well.
Yeah,
it is. It is, without a doubt. Yeah, it's good.
Rugby's flourishing down there, and their sevens teams are very good as well.
Yeah. Sure, look, Uruguay did beat Fiji in the last World Cup. Like, so, I mean, maybe it isn't that much of a surprise. They are coming along well. Yeah. But that's all we've got time for. Good to end with a Munster win, but bad to hear that news about Snyman, I suppose.
Yeah, fingers crossed about Snyman, but I really enjoyed the first show. It was great fun. Thanks for having me in. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series, and I promise you I won't wear my mask anymore.
Very good.
No worries.
Thanks again to our partners, Bank of Ireland, proud sponsors of the four Irish provinces. Join us next week where we'll be taking on round four of the United Rugby Championships. See you then.
Joe presents House of Rugby. United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.